Hello, lovers of the macabre. I'm Alma.
And I'm Lauren.
And this is...
Morbid Possessions.
We're coming live to you from Lauren's closet yet again. And Today, we're very excited, and this episode should be airing on Halloween Day. So, today's episode is on... drumroll...
Michael Myers. Fun fact, I had the biggest crush on Michael Myers.
Ew.
Well, you know what, Alma, to each their own.
I mean, that's true, I guess. So,
who doesn't love a 6 foot something homicidal maniac?
That is on, well, no, there's nothing wrong with being autistic, but he's an autistic psychopath.
To each their own.
To each their own. Cheers.
Ooh, that sounded nice.
That did. We're drinking,
wine coolers.
It's called Jamaica Me Happy.
Oh, it should have done.
So, Lauren did a lot more research on this subject than I did.
It was my favorite thirst trap in high school.
Very, very busy, so I kind of just gathered up some facts, so she's gonna take control of this podcast for the most part, and I'll be chiming in with fun facts.
Yep. It's please bear with me. I present a little bit different than Alma.
Yeah.
But it's fine.
All right. So All right. Where are we gonna start?
Well, Michael Myers was born October 19th, 1955, to parents Donald and Edith Myers, and he had two siblings, Lori and Judith Myers. Michael began hearing voices, and they excited him to kill on October 31st, 1963. Michael would kill for the very first time, killing his older sister at the age of 6 after witnessing her and her boyfriend kissing. He waited until the boyfriend left, went to the kitchen, grabbed a butcher knife, and stabbed her a whole bunch of times. His parents then checked him into Smith's Grove Sanitarium for 15 years. In 1978, after Michael's parents had died in a car accident, Michael escaped after his parents' death, blah, 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 all that fun stuff.
So I'm just going to chime in right here and add that when he murdered his sister after he had witnessed her, watched her have sex, I think he was showing his violent behavior towards anything of sexual nature. And the reason behind this and a theory of why he went mute is because he was being sexually abused by a close family member. And it could have been a close family member or just a close family friend.
That's also a common thing with children who are sexually assaulted at such a young age.
Yeah, and that could have a lot to do why he wants to eradicate his bloodline and why he went after Lori, and then why he ended up going...
a fun thing to talk about on that aspect that we'll get to later.
Okay.
It's a doozy. Sorry. I drank a little bit too much of that wine cooler at once. His psychiatrist described his eyes as the devil's eyes.
Loomis?
Yes. We're just going to completely ignore Halloween 3, Season of the Witch, because it is
It has nothing to stupid. Do with Michael Myers at all.
So what the directors had wanted, they wanted, an anthology series that was just based off of the holiday. But,
yeah.
And they had the opportunity to tie Michael's mask into it. For those of you who did not know, Michael's mask is a Captain Kirk mask from Star Trek.
I actually did not know that.
Yes, and it's painted white with the eyes gouged out, and then they darkened the hair.
So I just want to chime in here. Deborah Hill, who co-wrote Halloween, the original one from 1978, said in an interview that the tradition of Samhain, which is what they base it off of, Halloween, souls from the other side can come back for one night. Samhain and the evil itself cannot be killed or destroyed. And So basically, this has to do with why he rises on Halloween every 17 years. Fun fact. And I believe the proper way of saying Samhain as well is Samhain.
Okay.
But, I mean, we're not linguisticers.
If anyone knows the proper way, please let us know.
Yeah, we don't study linguistics, so
I wish we were that cool.
Yeah.
So they talk about eventually the reason why he has this like drive to kill and be a family annihilator is due to his tattoo on his wrist. That is a tattoo of a druid god, Thorn, who is a family annihilator, and has the drive to eradicate the bloodline. So that's why Michael comes back, and he has like the strength from like this god.
I actually knew that because actually in the most recent movie, The Curse of Michael Myers, the cult of Thorn tries to attempt to bind and take control of Michael with druidic magic, and he becomes a pawn for them.
Yeah, that's basically what it is. They, I want to say it was that cult,
the cult of Thorn. Until the most recent one. I believe that's the one that came out. I don't know when that one came out actually, but that's one of the most recent ones.
It's the one that has Paul Rudd in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's where they talk about it.
Okay.
And that's where he like goes in depth on his tattoo.
I haven't seen that movie actually.
It's not bad.
I heard it was terrible, but I'll give it a chance.
You know what?
I'll give it a chance.
All for anything spoopy with Paul Rudd.
So Dr. Loomis mentions that he completely gives up on Michael Myers at some point because he feels like he cannot be psychologically helped. He is just ruled by evil at this point.
That he is.
But if you're looking at it from a forensic psychology point of view, there are reasons why he could have gone mute and why he could have done the things that he did. One reason being conversion disorder. Normally, this occurs after you have a stressful experience, such as Michael's psychological and emotional trauma from the original murder when he murdered his sister. Mm-hmm. One of the symptoms of this is episodes of unresponsiveness, which he shows throughout the movie from a young age. Numbness of loss or sensation, which can be shown when he's attacked, he doesn't feel anything.
Fun fact, Michael has been shot 8 times.
And he's still alive.
Well, in the original.
Yeah. I feel like at some point
he's
not human anymore. He's just a spirit that returns on Halloween night.
Well, the reason why like Thorn is so important is that they like everything I've been reading and watching, they believe that he gets that power from Thorn himself, and that's why he's almost godlike and he's unable to be killed.
That makes a lot of sense. Another symptom of conversion disorder is difficulty walking, lacking physical coordination. He couldn't run. He had bad aim and hand-eye coordination. In the first movie, he stabbed a couch instead of Lori by accident. So this could represent conversion disorder. He also likely suffers from voyeurism, which is the interest in watching others undress or engage in sexual activities without their consent, such as a peeping Tom. He definitely has that, and that was shown in the first movie from age 6.
I saw a really alarming statistic, and it was like 80% of real-life serial killers spawn from peeping Toms.
Wow. Richard Ramirez, the uncle, would take him on adventures to go peep at neighbors while they would undress and stuff.
I want to take a shower now after thinking of that.
So he also more than likely was autistic. He had difficulty with social interactions, difficulty communicating, obsessive and repetitive behaviors. A key deficit in autism is theory of mind, which is basically the ability to understand others and feel empathy, such as like if Lauren and I are sitting here and she's feeling a deep, overwhelming emotion, and I could just feel it, not even by having words, but just by having that sort of empathy that goes beyond words. So it's said that sometimes severely autistic people relate people to be more like objects than living people. So this would impair his judgment of life and death, allowing him to kill people without the knowledge of right or wrong, because he would just view them as objects. And in one scene, I believe he had hung someone and the person was hanging back and forth, swaying, and he was just looking at it without having any emotion, like it was just an object, like a toy.
The only real time he shows, I mean, there are moments where he does break that stigma and have some
like with
some
Danny
emotion.
Trejo, until he murdered him.
But he also has the emotion with Jamie, his niece, Lori, his sister. Gives birth to a daughter, and before Michael knows about the daughter, she passes in a car accident and he is in a coma, and the paramedics are talking about it, which I know it's a movie, but it bugs me because I'm like, why are you talking about, you know, this family annihilator's family when he has the drive to kill them?
Yeah.
So they mention that Lori had given birth to a baby girl named Jamie. At one point he does like shed a tear, but is quickly snapped back into reality, and he has that drive to kill again.
He could have moments of clarity. Mm-hmm. Because I mean, people who are autistic do show signs of emotion, you know. It could just be
my cousins are autistic.
Yeah, like yeah. They do show emotion, so it,
oh, they're the sweetest
his
things ever.
His trauma that goes back to earlier on is what caps that.
Yeah, but it's also, he has not just autism happening. He has
well, he also
paranoid schizophrenia.
He doesn't have paranoid schizophrenia until Rob Zombie's Halloween.
Is it Rob Zombie's Halloween?
Rob Zombie, okay, is where he starts to exhibit schizophrenia. And John Carpenter, he doesn't have schizophrenia.
Well, because he's hearing voices in the first movie is what they're talking about. He's hearing, and that's what drives him to kill for the first time.
I think that just has to go with his psychopathy and his trauma. I don't think that really has to do with schizophrenia until later on in the Rob Zombie franchise.
Which is underrated.
Which
I actually really like the
I
Rob
really
Zombie
do
movies.
Like the movies, but it warps Michael Myers' profile, and it starts to take away from it with the visions and the hallucinations, and his profile becomes warped and strays from the original profile. Mm-hmm. I do really like Rob Zombie's take on it, with his mom being a stripper and he's like white trash. I do think that's really, I enjoyed it personally.
Yeah, I think it's actually a really good movie. I think people, I mean, you're dealing with such a classic movie that people are always gonna,
people are always gonna have something to say about
they're
it.
They're gonna complain sure. about something.
Yeah.
And find something to dislike about it. And that's why Rob Zombie won't agree to do anymore.
Yeah.
Because it essentially was a failure. Even though it wasn't a bad movie, it was good.
I personally really liked it.
Yeah, I'm a fan.
So another symptom with autistic people is that they're great with numbers, and they have the amazing ability to add numbers within their head. Michael Myers had an obsession with cemetery and would return only on Halloween every 17 years. He killed his sister when he was 17. He returned when Lori was 17 and tried to kill her. And then when she had a son that was 17, he returned to try to kill her again. So this
that's
could
in the,
definitely have something to do with his
that's
autism.
That's in the remake, right? Not the Rob Zombie remake? It's the other.
Yeah. Okay. I want to say the son is in the second one.
You want to hear this fun fact?
Yeah.
So Michael is believed to be based off of real-life serial killer Stanley Stiers.
Stanley Stiers.
They both share the same middle name, Audrey. So Stanley Stiers was switched at birth. There was like a twisted nurse, and it's almost impossible to find anything on him. But it's like a theory that he's loosely based off of him. The family like realized that he was switched at birth, but their original son, the real Stanley, had died in a car accident on their way back to the back from the hospital.
Wow.
So they became resentful towards their essentially new son. And the family ended up having a daughter, and they tormented him. She tormented him. He was being bullied at school. And this is like 1920s at this point, where he's being bullied like this. He's being abused at home.
Yeah.
And he's being bullied at school. So he wanted to go to trick-or-treating, and his family never let him. His younger sister ends up being able to go to a Halloween party. She comes back and he murders her. He stabs her like 18 times.
Wow.
Then he went and killed the mom and dad. He then got dressed up as a clown, which is what Michael Myers is dressed up as when he kills his sister.
Yeah, in the original movie. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I lost my place.
It's okay.
So then he goes out trick-or-treating dressed as a clown after just murdering his family. And he sees his bullies out and about, attacks and kills them and their entire family, and then continues on trick-or-treating. And then he is brought into a mental hospital and studied.
So John Carpenter, he actually took a trip to a mental institution with one of his college classes, and he took a lot of inspiration here for Halloween, especially because he encountered a young boy there, mm-hmm. and he had an evil and deadly stare.
He said he described it as he looked straight through him.
Yeah.
And that he felt physically ill.
And that's exactly how he portrayed Michael, is that he had an evil, empty stare and there was nothing there.
And it's kind of like when you look at his mask, you don't see his eyes.
That's even what Dr. Luma said. And another theory of why he wanted that mask to cover his eyes is because he was very uncomfortable with making eye contact, mm-hmm. which is also a symptom with people who are autistic, because they do have that kind of deficit with social interactions.
It's my cousin, he is the sweetest boy you will ever meet. He loves me very much, and he can't stand Jose. So he won't make eye contact or be super like lovey on anyone else, except for me, his mom, a few of our family members. But when it comes to eye contact with Jose, he will look him dead in the eyes and he goes, "I don't like you." And I'm like, "Oh, you're dealing with someone who really doesn't like you." But Jack is my favorite of my family members, and I tell everyone that because he is the cutest thing. And also, he loves Halloween and blow up, like the blow up, like Halloween decorations.
Shout out to Jack. So, he also took inspiration from Alfred Hitchcock. And he actually named a couple of his characters after Alfred Hitchcock movie characters.
I didn't know this, so that's super fascinating.
I love Alfred Hitchcock.
Yeah.
So
Birds is great.
Mm-hmm. He named Tommy Doyle after a police officer in Rear Window. He also named Dr. Loomis after Sam Loomis from Psycho, which I thought was pretty cool because I didn't know that. Do you have any more additional comments on him?
I mean, he is... Okay, so he has, in the original franchise, 80 confirmed kills.
Wow.
In all of the movies, it's 121. So he's considered the second most deadliest fictional serial killer.
Who's number one?
Jason.
Okay.
Who has over 300.
Wow.
Out of all the franchises.
Did you know that originally John Carpenter wasn't going to make... He didn't intend for Laurie to be related to him. It just kind of happened in the second movie.
And I know in the Rob Zombie one, they're not related.
Yeah, and this Rob Zombie one, they're not related. He actually ended up regretting making him the baby sister later on because that had that connection and he didn't want that connection to be there where it mm-hmm. became like a family kind of ties thing. He kind of just wanted him to be like ruled by evil.
Mm-hmm.
So he ended up regretting that decision. But I personally still think it was a good decision.
Yeah, I mean, and I think casting for Laurie was great.
Yeah, I really like Rob Zombie's casting too. That Laurie.
Oh, yes.
I really like that Laurie. Mm-hmm. I was reading some people didn't like her, but I thought she was a perfect choice.
I think it's because you're dealing with the...
the comparison to the first movie.
Of course, you're going to always deal with a comparison to, especially a classic like this.
Yeah.
It's, yeah.
Yeah, so he connects all of his adult murders basically back to his sister, his original murder. In one of the movies, he even steals her tombstone and places it as it upstairs in the bedroom of one of his victims. So they're all tied back to that original killing, which was sexually motivated.
Mm-hmm.
And that definitely triggered something within him. I feel like she was supposed to be babysitting him, and she was neglecting him to hang out with her boyfriend and have sex with him.
Yeah.
So I think that did make him snap. And if he had that sexual abuse, I could also see why that would happen to him. But this sexual abuse was never talked about.
Mm-hmm.
That's just a theory. I strongly believe that that's what caused him to go mute, mm-hmm. and that's what caused him to do the things that he did.
Yeah.
And being autistic, he became obsessed and in creating those repetitive things because autistic people are very repetitive and they can become obsessed with things.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not a bad thing. But in his case,
if you look
having
at my cousin's
psychopathy,
lawn, yes.
that's pretty bad.
Mm-hmm. No, my aunt and uncle, bringing this back to Jack, he's my favorite, as I said, he has like tons of these blow up. Like lawn ornaments, and he is obsessed with them. We watch videos after videos after videos with him, but no, that's a good point that you bring up.
Yeah, so Dr. Loomis, I've been talking a lot about Michael Myers from a psychological mm-hmm. point of view, but Dr. Loomis himself didn't feel like psychology could help Michael at a certain point. He said that there was nothing left in Michael. There was no reason, no conscience, and no understanding. He was purely and simply evil. Michael Myers does kind of take the form of Samhain, of Halloween, of evil. When Loomis shoots him, he goes after the body trying to find him, and his body had disappeared. Because I believe his body is evil and it doesn't need a human shape. It's just the manifestation mm-hmm. of pure evil. And that's what Rob Zombie wanted. So when he tied in that family connection, that's mm-hmm. why he regretted it. Because he just wanted it to be pure evil and not really have a motivation.
Valid. And I think if they didn't even have to go in with a backstory. I think the backstory that they chose where he did, you know, essentially snap and kill his sister... is a good backstory.
It is.
But I think if you're trying to do that, the whole Samhain and pure evil, you shouldn't have even tied in a family backstory at that point.
Or they could have had the family backstory, but mm-hmm. they could have had it go from there
mm-hmm.
and not reconnected the family. But I do right. understand why he would return to that house, being that that's where it all originated from.
Yeah, and especially because it's, you know, Samhain, it's returning. Yeah.
And then in Rob Zombie's version, when he goes there, Laurie Strode's dad is selling the house. He's mm-hmm. the realtor, so he sees her slipping in the key.
Mm-hmm.
He goes after her. She's babysitting. She's having a sexual encounter at some point with someone. And that honestly makes a lot of sense as to why he would snap again
mm-hmm.
every time he sees something that's like a sexual act, if he was... sexually abused under the age of 6.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. That's a valid point.
So that's pretty much all I have. All of my research is more from a psychological point of view and fun facts. But I think Michael Myers is a fascinating character. Do you have any other points, Lauren?
I wish they just... I mean, Season of the Witch... So it's based off of, like, a, like, mask-making company that, like, when they play like the commercial or the song, it like makes them go turn evil or kill them. They totally could have tied Michael Myers in with his mask. Would have been good. But yeah, I think that's all for me. Do you have anything you want to say, Ad?
Yeah, so John Carpenter and Deborah Hill, who co-wrote Halloween, they actually took a lot of inspiration from their childhood. A lot of names, the name of the town were taken from their childhoods, and a lot of the events were meshed together from their childhood. All right, so we're just gonna take a moment to talk about our merch line. We're very excited, although we can't give you any updates on the t-shirts because we're recording the same day that we recorded last week's episode. So basically, we did get our business cards finally, which I'm very, very excited about. And we also got...
I surprised Alma with mugs, so we have matching mugs now.
They're so cute.
They're adorable. We love them very much. So it'll be a nice little addition to our recording process now.
Now we can drink our coffee with our boozy coffee with those mugs, which I'm so excited about. We should be screen printing our shirts this week, or at least receiving our bulk order. So just stay tuned on Instagram for those updates. This should be posting on Halloween, so happy Halloween, y'all. I hope you guys stay safe. If you have any black cats, please, please, please keep
bring them inside. I have a black cat. He is my baby. I won't be here to watch after him, so if you know who you are and you're listening, keep my son inside. Please.
Yeah, so, I mean, send us your, whatever your Halloween costumes are, or any cool Halloween stories. Yeah. Just keep us updated, you guys.
So, Alma, what are your plans for Halloween?
I have no clue. I might actually just stay in and watch Halloween movies. I kind of just want to keep it chill this year.
Fair enough.
But that's what I say every year. I'm like, I'm not going to do anything... I'm not gonna get my hopes up, and then last minute I'm always like, I want to do something, and I'm like stressed out. But this year I'm really just gonna stay in.
Valid. I'm probably going to bars. I'm gonna be Linda Belcher from Bob's Burgers for Halloween. I just want to carry a glass of wine and tell people I'm not getting drunk, I'm just having fun.
That's fun.
Yeah, it's a good time. Be comfortable too.
Hell yeah. I'm probably going to wear my pajamas with the pumpkins on them, and I have a Hocus Pocus shirt that I'll probably be wearing while I watch Halloween movies and probably drink a little bit and
maybe cry. Cry?
I'm joking.
Because your favorite holiday, your favorite month is ending.
Yeah. I'm really sad that this month is ending. I feel like I did not do enough for Halloween.
We need more spoop in our lives.
We need more spoop.
I love spoop.
But
I mean, every season is spooky season when
it's
you
Halloween
like
Halloween 365.
Yeah.
365, baby.
Damn, you're fine.
So I hope you guys have a rad Halloween, and I hope you guys are still listening and we haven't scared you guys away.
Please tell us what you guys want to hear. Like
thank
we say every
Thank you day. So much for all of your support.
Yes, thank
and
you
for
guys.
Still listening, and for our close friends and family for pre-ordering our shirts.
Thank you. We love you.
We love all of you guys.
All right.
I could have never pictured having this much support already.
No, not at all.
So thank you so much.
And stay creepy.
Have a safe Halloween.
All right, guys. Bye.